Well, good morning.
Good morning.
That was a little rough. Good morning.
Good morning.
There we go. So today, I want to tackle a truth that can be very foundational to our Christian faith. What I want to talk about is our burdens, the heaviness of life that weighs us down. You know, burdens are a part of life. It's not only a part of life, but how we cope with them helps define and mold us in our walks. Now, most of us like to be in control. So I ask this morning, who's in control of your life? Are you willing to give that control to Jesus? Giving up control of anything is scary, much less giving up control of our lives. But the question before us isn't if we will have burdens. The question is, will we give up the excuses, the rhetoric, the control, the resistance to God's plan for help? Will we give up our controlling resistance and give in to God? Simply put, can we let go and let God? Now this morning, as we talked about Palm Sunday, as John read the message, I'd like to think about, you know, they laid their cloaks, they laid their palm branches down. But what I'd like to do is parallel that this morning and ask us if we can lay down our burdens. And so as we go into this week, I would like to approach today with thinking about our burdens, giving them up to Christ, and finally putting an end to our resistance, to our control, and to the excuses, so that we can better serve our Heavenly Father. So this morning we're going to start with G. We're going to start with give up our burdens. On the back of your, bulletin. Thank you, Joe. Struggling with words this morning. It's unusual for me. but on the back of your bulletin, I've got a little acronym there. If you follow along with me, I'd appreciate it. So G is give up our burdens. We don't all have wealth, but we do all have burdens. Every day of life here on earth brings us to its own assortment of burdens. Some have a physical handicap, a chronic sickness, an abnormality that you cannot change. Some have spiritual burdens. It may be that Hurricane Satan has struck our lives, and the surge of our sin has shocked our soul. Some have emotional burdens like depression, anxiety, a heartache over some loss, or a financial challenge. Paul puts it this way in 1 Corinthians 10 through 13. No temptation has overtaken you, but such is it as is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape also, so that you will be able to endure it. There's another way to look at this. As I was researching, I found an old parable. It's about the old Cherokee, and he's teaching his grandson about life. A fight is going on inside me, he said to the boy. It is a terrible fight, and it is between two wolves. One is evil. He is anger, envy, sorrow, regret, greed, arrogance, self-pity, guilt, resentment, inferiority, lies, false pride, superiority, ego. The other is good. He is joy, peace, love, hope, serenity, humility, kindness, benevolence, empathy, generosity, truth, compassion, and faith. The same fight is going inside of you and on inside of every other person too. The grandson thought about it for a minute and then asked his grandfather, "Well, which wolf will win?" And the old Cherokee simply replied, "The one you feed." Are you with me this morning? Are you going to feed your temptations? Or are you going to give up the resistance and give control to Jesus. Now, this morning I'd like to make myself exceptionally vulnerable, like I typically do, and I'm not too proud of that. But I ask that as I make myself vulnerable, that you look at someone who has come through and still is going through the challenge and the burden of which I'm about to speak. I ask that you not judge me, but I ask that you hear my heart as I talk to you about my biggest and greatest shortcoming. You see, most of you see someone who's always very calm, fun-loving, witty, always joking, typically has a smile on his face. It's not really always the case. Some of that could be my profession. Being a pharmacist, you tend to be very type A personality. You do tend to be controlling. And I can make an argument for that, that if I'm not controlling, then I could potentially harm you. But everything has to have its place. Every OCD compulsion that I have has a reason. I can justify that. But it leads for a very difficult life for not only myself, but most importantly, my beautiful wife and my two wonderful children. Because nothing they can do is ever good enough. How sad is that? Nothing they ever do is good enough. So I have an identity crisis. And that is my struggle. My struggle is anger. My struggle is quick-temperedness. My struggle is getting angry over the trivial things in life that mean nothing to the greater good and the greater picture that God calls us to look at. If you give me that picture, please, I'll show you my struggle of identity. That is my struggle. Am I David Bruce Banner on most days? Or am I the Incredible Hulk? Now, I realize that you're looking at that and realizing that my triceps and my pecs are that large, and I understand why you would see that. Thank you. And I know that my hair is a little bit shorter than what it is there, but hey, we grow. But honestly, I loved this show growing up, but I had no idea how it would play such a role in my life today. I repress the Incredible Hulk in me every day so that I can live the life of a kind and compassionate, generous man as David Banner. It's a difficult daily shortcoming and a struggle. I believe that I've been angry for a long period of time in my life, but I believe that one of the reasons that I've been most angriest is because I still haven't gotten over the loss of my son. God took Noah away from me, and I thought it was because he was giving me and taking away from me because I had taken away from him. I felt, he's not a loving father. How could he take away my child who has done nothing? And as I have gone through counseling, and as I continue to go through counseling for my anger and my short-temperedness, I'm reminded of the fact that that is the driving force behind my anger. You see, it's okay to forgive, but if you harbor resentment, you don't truly forgive. I've never forgiven the Father because I still harbor resentment. How callous of me. That is my struggle. It's not my job. Is it because my parents have both struggled with anger? Is it because the Incredible Hulk green blood runs through their veins? We're all predisposed to things. But we have the ability to break the chain and go to what you're being called to do and be better. To serve Christ. To be an example of Christ. I have a beautiful wife and two wonderful children that I have to be an example for, to show my daughter how she should be treated as a from a fatherly perspective, but not only, but as a husband. I should have a son that I need to be an example to show him how to treat a young lady, to how to be a wonderful husband and wonderful father. And I have a beautiful wife that has given so much for me that I have to lay down my life for her. And I should show her that on a daily basis, of being appreciative for what she puts up with me, but most importantly, for the sacrifices that she makes for our family. And I fail in every measure. That is my identity crisis. That is my struggle. What is your burden this morning? You know, I'm reminded of two things and two scriptures that have always come to mind as I go through these struggles, and the two things that come to play for me. And the first is James 4:7-8, where it says, "Submit therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you." Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts. In Hebrews 4:16, it says, "Therefore, let us draw near." Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. If you can put up that next picture. So Jesus is our bridge. And as you can see there, man on one side and God on the other, Jesus is our bridge. He is our way of life. He is the only way to the Father. Grace in time of need. Mercy in time of need. My friends, sometimes with temptation and being sucked in by the temptation, we must just be harder on ourselves once in a while than what God is. God forgives and gives great mercy. Matt Maurer's song says this, "Where sin runs deep, your grace is more." God's grace is more than our sin. Stop beating ourselves up and receive our Father's grace. That doesn't give us a free license to continue to give in to temptation. No, it does not. But we realize we are human, but we also realize God's strength, his power, and his grace. In the song, "Lord, I Need You," part of the lyrics is this: "When temptation comes my way, and when I cannot stand, I fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh God, how I need you. What can I do when I am tempted? Go with confidence to the throne of grace and have your heart cry, Lord, I need you." What are you going through today? What burdens are you challenged with? I'm going to cover a few. And just as Jesus was tempted, each time that he was tempted by Satan, he responded with scripture. So I'm going to provide scriptures for you this morning. God's promises to you are the following. Are you holding on to tight to your burdens? Psalms 55:22 says, "Cast your burden upon the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never allow the righteous to be shaken." Are you going through troubles? Psalms 25:16-18 says, "Turn to me and be gracious to me, for I am lonely and afflicted. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. Bring me out of my distresses. Look upon my affliction and my trouble and forgive all my sins." Is life beginning to get a little bit cloudy and hazy? Do you need for some light to come into your darkness? Psalms 84:11 says, "For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord gives grace and glory. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly." Are you concerned that your prayers aren't making a difference? Are you starting to wonder if God really hears you? Luke 11:9 through 10 says, "So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened." Are you stressed out? Have you lost control of your life? Romans 8:26 through 28 says, "In the same way the Spirit also helps our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose." Are you worried about your needs being met? Philippians 4:19 says, "And my God will supply all your needs according to his riches in the glory in Christ Jesus." Does your past come back to haunt you? Do your old sins still play in your mind? Psalms 130 through 5 says, "If you, Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with you, that you may be feared. I wait for the Lord. My soul does wait, and in his word do I hope." Are you sick this morning with a chronic illness or a disease? Psalms 103:3 says, "Who pardons all your iniquities? Who heals all your diseases?" Are you concerned about your eternity? Where you will go when you die? John 3:16 through 17 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him." Matthew 11:28 through 30 says, "For all of these things, come to me, all who are weary and heavy burden and laden. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." The yoke that Jesus is talking about in this verse is a piece of wood that is strapped to an oxen to pull a heavy load. The way that the yoke was made was so that the stronger ox would carry the brunt of the load and the lighter ox would get the lighter part. Jesus is saying that when we allow for him to come alongside of us and help, he will take the hard parts and we get the lighter parts. But in order for the load to be taken care of, we have to be invested in Jesus. We have to be attached to Christ and his word. So when I is investing in Jesus. So how do we invest in Jesus? Well, there's a lot of different ways to do that. But basically, because we are so busy, do we truly and daily invest in Christ? One of the biggest reasons that I struggle with my shortcomings is truly my busyness. If you can throw up those pictures, let me show you my calendar for the last 2 months to give you an idea of what my calendar looked like. So here's in April, and it's very difficult to see, but under each one of those days is a dot. That dot means that I had something scheduled for work, for something with my children, for a church meeting, for something. And that is not during the day. That's all after I get off of work. Do you see any free days there? I highlighted it for you. It's the 28th. Where it says no events. I'm going to sleep that day. Let's see the next one after that. So this was March. It was worse. It was only one day. That was the 1st of March. Something every day. How can I overcome my shortcomings? How can I overcome my burdens when I don't have time to rest in Christ? And yes, you can say you can get up early and read, and certainly we do, and I do. But when you're going after so much, how do you truly take time to invest? Let me give it to you this way. If I was to give my broker $100 and never give him any other money. Sure, it's going to grow because of interest. But if I just give him a little bit more each day, each month, the basis, the foundation of the money grows exponentially. And so does my money. And the same is true for our walk in Christ. What you put in is what you're going to get out. If you give a little bit to God, you're only going to receive a little. But if you continue to put in each day, every day, your word, you put read His word, you put in your love, you be an example of Christ, you be a friend, you shoulder a burden, you help a comrade, you love a mother, you love your mother, you love your wife, you love your children. If you be an example and a steward of God, your walk, your health spiritually, and your mind will exponentially grow in the favor of Christ. And when you do that, one of the most important things that you'll have is that you'll actually start being able to hear Christ over Satan. You know that commercial where it is on there and there's that Volkswagen and he's like, I don't know if I should do that. And that little boy comes out there, hey, baby, I want that car. Hey, baby, I want that car. And he's just saying that to him all the time. Well, I know that a lot of you think that that's probably Joel because that's what he sounds like. But that's not the case. He throws me under the bus once in a while. I got to do it in front of him. But honestly, the greatest part of having a relationship with Jesus and being invested in Jesus is being able to hear God and to understand that it's Him that's speaking to you. And to give you a good example of this, I was struggling recently because of our pharmacy in the hospital is exceptionally busy, and I'm very blessed because people send us their problems. People can't get this to go through, send it to PharmaCare. Send it to Keith, he'll get it done. And I'm exceptionally blessed, and I believe that because of how I take care of people, that God blesses me. But I'm being humbled by that because I realize that that all goes away tomorrow. But I'm still human. I still get frustrated. I still struggle. And so when I get these problems, I'm like, you know, once in a while, I just want to be a pharmacist that processes a prescription that just goes right through, and it's $5. That's all I want. And I struggle with that. And I said to my buddy the other day, I work with another Keith. I said, Keith, I don't know, you struggle with this. He said, absolutely, I struggle with this. And so he goes to a doctor's appointment. And while he goes to the doctor's appointment, I step in to fill into his shoes, and I'm just getting problem after problem after problem. People that don't even deal with us. These prescriptions are coming in. I'm like, why am I getting these problems? I don't understand it. And I'm frustrated. I get exceptionally frustrated. He goes to the doctor's office, comes back, and I start telling him about it. He stops me in mid-sentence. He says, Keith, I just was over in the doctor's office, and she said to me, do you know how good of a staff that you and Keith have? Do you know that you guys are good pharmacists and we send you all of our problems because you get it done? You take care of people and you care. And I still didn't believe him. I thought, you know, that's just crap. She's just going to keep sending us the problems. She just wants it off her plate. And I went home and I said the same thing to my wife. The next morning that I get up, I'm driving down the road. Of course, my wife had a lot of things to say, and I can repeat them all because she's very, very good. But she was very supportive of me and told me to calm down, relax, get your Italian blood in check, and shut it and do your job. That's essentially the nutshell. But the point that I'm making here is that I get up the next morning and I'm off. And she's like, you have tomorrow off, just, you know, rest, take the day, be with God. I'm driving down the road and something's pointing into my pocket and it's my phone. And so I pull my phone out, and anybody that has an iPhone knows when you pull your phone out that it's black. You know, just a blank screen. Not this day. I pull my phone out, and if you show that next picture, this was the verse that came up. For God is not unjust so as to forget your work and the love which you have shown toward His name in having ministered. You belong to God, and He won't forget the love you have shown to His people. There's a bullet through the heart. What a way for God to speak to me to say, I see everything that you do. I understand that you're frustrated, but I'm giving them to you because you are my child. And like I'm calling you to do, I want you to love the child that I'm sending you. What a way for God to speak to me. So you were created by God, and God cares about you. You are of value. God loves you and will not forsake you. He does not want you to be discouraged. He certainly does not want you to be defeated. You may have heard this before, but I think it's fitting here, so I'll just go ahead and talk to you. How many here would love to have a $20 bill? There you go. So you want the $20 bill. Now if I step on it, I crumble it up. You're a worthless piece of $20 bill. Who still wants the $20 bill? Okay. And why? You can buy something with it. It's still good. A little bit more.
You can put it in your college fund.
Can put it in your college fund. It might get you a cafeteria lunch. It's still worth something. No matter what you do to this to the $20 bill, no matter what you do to yourselves, the $20 bill was made with value. And my brothers and sisters, so are you and I. God made us with value. He doesn't want you to lug around all the baggage. He doesn't want you beating yourself up. He knows you may be afflicted, perplexed, persecuted, and struck down, but you don't have to be defeated. We live in a day in which people want to sin and ignore the consequences. The attitude today is, it's not your fault. It's the way that your parents raised you. I'm not minimizing the effects that our past can sometimes have, but I am saying that in Jesus Christ, you can get past your past. We're in a mess today as we don't take personal responsibility for the choices that we make. I understand that certain things in our past can predispose us to certain things, but we still make our choices, and we make our bed, and we have to lie in it. Your parents' lifestyle may have exposed you to anger, lying, and gossip, but you still have a choice to make when tempted with immorality. We can rise above it and break the cycle if you want to, with God's help. And that is where our V comes in, and there is victory in Christ Jesus. There is victory over our burdens. Every Christian has things from the past of which we are now ashamed. And what should we do when those things pop into our mind? First, let the memory of those sins humble us so that we deal graciously with fellow sinners. We were once a slave of sin, so don't be self-righteous and judgmental toward those who are still slaves of sin. Rather, point them to God's abundant grace in Christ. Second, thank God for loving us in spite of our sin and for sending Christ to die for our sins. Third, be on guard against falling back into those old sins. We are not invulnerable. Once we have yielded to a sin, it will always hold a powerful attraction, even when we're enjoying fellowship with Christ. So be on guard. And lastly, and most importantly, our E, encourage one another. 1 Thessalonians 5:14 through 15 says, "We urge you, brethren, admonish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with everyone. See that no one repays another with evil for evil, but always seeks after that which is good for one another and for all people." Sometimes we do things that just don't make sense at all. And then the consequences come, and they are our responsibility. What we need to do is to not make excuses, to not blame somebody else, and to not pretend that we are victims of circumstance. We need to give up our resistance and take responsibility. We need to say that we were wrong and ask God and man for forgiveness. God forgives us for every single sin when we repent and ask for forgiveness, but we still have to deal with the consequences. That is a responsibility that we have to accept on our own. And as we accept that responsibility, we will also be happy to accept the support and the help of our friends. Some burdens are meant to be shared. Others we have to take responsibility for. Galatians 1 through 5 puts it this way. Brethren, even if anyone is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such one in a spirit of gentleness, each one looking to yourself, so that you too will not be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he will deceive himself. But each one must examine his own work, and then he will have reason for boasting in regard to himself alone, and not in regard to another. For each one will bear his own load. When a fellow believer stumbles and falls into sin, rather than pointing accusing fingers or shooting our wounded, we should reach down and give them a helping hand to lift them up and help them get back on track. We are supposed to encourage and strengthen one another when it comes to our faults and failures. The only thing which will keep us from bearing one another's burdens is to think that we are above ever needing this help. There are people like that. They feel they are God's gift to the church and to humanity, and actually feel good about themselves when others fail. That, my friends, is self-righteousness. Truly, we are all prone to wonder, but we will also genuinely need each other. At any given time at Oakdale, we have had someone under a heavy load of grief. We have had a lot of great services recently, with a great spirit, but always there's someone present going through an awful time. Tragedy, sorrow, disappointment, depression, and grief will eventually visit the house of every person here. In Ruth 2:13 it says, "Then she said, I have found favor in your sight, my Lord, for you have comforted me, and indeed have spoken kindly to your maidservant, though I am not like one of your maidservants." She was a stranger in a foreign land, an outcast. She expected to be ostracized and to have to do without. But someone came into her life and comforted her. Whom have you comforted recently? Who has comforted you? This is one reason that God allows sorrows to come to us, so we can be comforted and then in turn comfort others in need once we have been through it. 2 Corinthians 1:4 puts it this way. Who comforts us in all our affliction so that we will be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God? As difficult as it may be, we need to pick ourselves up and not allow our tragedies to be wasted. God wants to use them for good in others. Many of you have been through things that uniquely qualify you to help others where most cannot. Understand your gifting and realize that God has called us to shoulder and share the burden with others. Christian, if you and the worship team want to come forward, I'd like to end with this thought. One of these two things will happen when we cast our burden on the Lord. One, the Lord will lift the burden. We have seen people have a health need, and we pray and we anoint, and it goes away. Financial needs, and God has provided the money. It's always great when that's how it happens. But that's not always how God works. Sometimes the Lord doesn't lift the burden. Sometimes the second thing that He does is the Lord will lift you. Again, let's look at Psalms 55:22. Cast your burden upon the Lord, and He will sustain you. He will never allow the righteous to be shaken. Some of us are getting bitter toward God because we've asked Him to lift our burden, and it doesn't seem like that He has. But please realize, it may be His will to lift us up and carry us and that burden through it all. But when we throw a perpetual pity party, we don't allow Him to carry us or our burden either way. He shall sustain thee. revisiting Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Let this be your hope as you look at your burdens, to give them up to Christ. And let me just quickly say that if you give up your burdens, you're left with three things, the I, the V, and the E. If you take that I and the V and the E and you put an apostrophe that's there, it says, I have peace. Give up your burdens. Invest in Jesus. Claim victory over your past of your sins. And energize one another. And focus on this scripture. Matthew 11, 28 through 30 says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. My friends, these are the promises of God. We are responsible to claim them. God is responsible to keep his word, and he always does. Do you trust him this morning without resistance? Or do you trust him only so far? We must have a trust that says, Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters, wherever you could call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. Lay your burdens down this morning. Find some rest. Take the weight off your shoulder and give up your resistance and give it to God. May God bless you this week as we prepare for the joy and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ.